Well, I would like to just start out, first of all, by telling you a little bit about myself. I know a fair majority of you, but I will start by saying I moved to North Dakota about when I was roughly 13 years old. Then I attended Wachter Middle School and then went to Bismarck High, and go Demons. If you've seen me outside of here, I always wear Demons gear, so yeah. For the last 16 years, I've been married to Melissa, and we've got 5 great kids. Most of you probably know Malachi, but I do have 4 other kids. Outside of the church, I am a shop foreman for Basaraba Excavating, and I also handle all of their safety stuff. So that keeps me pretty busy outside of my normal responsibilities. So for about 5.5 years prior to me arriving at BCC, I had a relationship of convenience with Jesus. And when I say that, I mean that if I didn't need Jesus, I didn't pray, I didn't go to church. We had a church home, but then we had a bad falling out at a church, and then we just didn't go. We, as the spiritual leader of my home, I should have been more involved. I should have done more, but I didn't. I was absent. And then 5.5 years ago, Jesus opened my eyes in a very big way. I had 2 seizures, both of which almost killed me. The subsequent testing, figure out what caused the seizures, revealed a spot on my brain. As of today, that spot still remains undiagnosed. But in their testing and trying to figure out what was going on, they revealed that I had MS. Not only do I have MS, but it's a primary progressive type of MS, so it's a pretty aggressive form of MS. So it's going to only get worse. It will never be like just even keel and then get worse. It's always just going to be on a trajectory of getting bad, which is what it is, right? In addition to that, I have a heart issue that was discovered about 18 months ago that doesn't allow my heart to beat a full beat. So that complicates things a little bit. Of course, every time you go to the doctor, we get a new pill or something exciting from there. And then, of course, they always come with the exciting side effects. This isn't going to work because you have this and whatever. But the residual part of that was that I ended up with a stage 3 kidney disease, which was not one of the listed side effects. One of the other things that they came up with was I have I had 40 MRIs that have yielded 50 lesions on my brain and my spinal cord. And if you're not familiar with what a lesion is, think of it like construction in your neighborhood. You can still get to your house, but you're going to have to take the long way around. And if you think about the long way around, it might take you by your local coffee shop. Well, if you go by the coffee shop, you got to stop and get coffee. So then you end up with coffee or, whatever else it might be. But in that thing, the signal from wherever in my head to wherever else, so if I want to do this with my finger, I might also move my leg or move this finger too. So the residual effect is not great. So I have a lot of issues there. And as you can imagine, one lesion does that, you can imagine what 50 lesions do between my head and my spinal cord. Sometimes it looks like I'm a really good dancer. Not the case. So there are times I have a stool here and I may have to use it because my legs buckle. I've been walking along and just fallen down. I'm really good at that. I joked around with Jim. If you guys remember the original Willy Wonka movie where he walks out of the factory and he does that thing where he falls and then he kind of does the tumbling thing and he jumps up. I thought it'd be kind of cool if I could do that. I'm not that agile though. But that's kind of how my life goes. I'm really good at falling. I do wear two leg braces. They go around about right here on my knees. They send electrical impulses to my lower part of my legs to help my legs kick out so that I can walk. It's been a very good thing for me, but yeah. But I have to be honest. I get really tired. I am tired not only because of fatigue, but I am just tired of being sick. And you could say in many ways that this illness has probably robbed me of my joy. It's left me feeling hollow, empty, and defeated. But I will say this, there is hope. And hope is a really big word. Hope can be as simple as a kid waiting for a present on their birthday or at Christmas, or hope can be like waiting for good news when you're sitting at the doctor's office and you just, that eager anticipation of them coming in and giving you some kind of good news. No matter what, hope is always some kind of, it's like you're waiting for something better. Hope never really is something bad. But hope cannot exist without faith. So what do we do with hope and suffering and ultimately faith? Well, first of all, we have to give it to God. We have to bear our hearts to God. I think, for me, I look at it much like David did in Psalm 63. All of Psalm 63 is great, but I'll just read you the first part. David starts out by saying, God, you are my God. I am searching so hard to find you. Body and soul, I thirst for you in this dry and weary land without water. And the other thing we have to do with our hope, our suffering, and our faith is we have to share it. If we don't share that, we end up with this thing where we end up being very alone. And I can tell you that in my time in preparing for this, I've known for roughly 2.5 months that I was going to be up here today. And I've had some amazing conversations with people in this room about how you people have packed waiting rooms, lined hallways, and slept on floors to help other people through their suffering. We've had meals here to help other people through their suffering. When I had my seizures, I was not a member of this body, yet you came and brought meals to Melissa and took care of my family when you didn't know who we were. These stories of how you have taken care of each other are amazing. And it is through this hardship and suffering and illness that we have managed to persevere. But we are not immune to suffering. Suffering is inevitable. Adam and Eve made a decision for all of us and allowed sin to become a part of our world. These panels depict that. Jesus also died on the cross. He knows suffering. that story is evident. We must trust and be patient and stay focused on Jesus. Jesus gave us a perfect model of how to live through suffering, but he also gave us something else. He gave us hope and he gave us faith. Hope by assuring us that he would return, and faith in the redemption he offered by dying on the cross. The one thing that you will never find in the Bible is the passage where it says, don't let anyone know what's going on, keep it to yourself, internalize it, and be miserable. I looked, it's not there. So, the verse that I am using today is 1 Peter, verses, not just a verse, is 1 Peter chapter 4, and it's verses 7 through 19. So if you guys want to open that up, or open to that, and then they got it up there, we will read that. So it says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded. For the sake of your prayers, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as murderer or thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will it be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, then what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So, Peter's message here says two things to me. And there's a lot there, I get that. But I got two things out of that. Be in community and trust your God throughout your suffering. He has your back. I'm paraphrasing there because, you know. But I have personally witnessed this through these two things interwoven in a very interesting and beautiful way here at BCC. And I'm going to give you an example of how that happened. And this is going to stick with me for as long as I live. So, most of you, if not all of you, know who Terry Krenz is. In February of 2018, I was going to have a heart procedure. Terry at that point probably didn't really know who I was, but she knew of the procedure I was going to have. I was busy feeling sorry for myself as to why I yet again had to have something done and what was going on with me and, you know, woe is me type of thing. Terry reached out to me and just told me that she was praying for me. Not unusual, many of you had approached me and said, hey, I'm praying for you, I hope things go well, that kind of thing. What was unusual in that circumstance was that as an elder here, we had had a meeting, we meet most Tuesdays, and it had been brought up that, you know, Terry was going through something. I don't know the specific details, but it was just mentioned, you know, pray for Terry. Whether it was, you know, what the circumstances were, I'm not sure. Either way, it struck me because somebody that was going through what she was going through to reach out to me in her circumstance and say, hey, I'm praying for you, it just threw me off. I'm like, why? How? I had to do some thinking on that one. So I processed that. I moved forward. 6 months later, my daughter Madison was in the hospital. She had West Nile meningitis. West Nile on its own, not a good thing. Meningitis on its own, not a good thing. You put the two of them together, not great at all. She was not doing well. And then I got a Facebook message from Terry. Said, hey, I just want you to know, I'm praying for you. If there's anything you and Melissa need, let me know. Roughly a month after that message, Terry went home to be with Jesus. That month leading up to that, you know, I know from my own experience that Terry wasn't doing well. But even in that time, she took time out of what she was dealing with to reach out to me and say, hey, I'm thinking of you. I care about you. Her focus wasn't on her and her own suffering. Her focus was on me or you. So I had to think about that. Like, what drives somebody to be that way? And I couldn't figure it out. And I thought about it. And then it dawned on me. While Terry's family included Mark, her children, and her grandchildren, Terry's family didn't stop at her front door. Terry's family included her church. And that was a big thing. So that kind of love, how do we have that? How many of us can say that we have that same kind of love for the people around us? So we all have, you know, as John and Kara said today, we support missions well. We do GEMMA well. We, Jeanette Myrie, McLaughlin at Freedom Fellowship. How many of us know what's going on with the person in the chair next to us? You know, I can tell you as somebody that goes through a lot of nonsense on a day-to-day basis, it helps to have somebody that you can talk to, even to say, hey, I'm dealing with this thing, and they can relate. They can say, I know, I get it. Even if they have a relative that's going through it, or they can deal with it in the same sort of thing. You know, there's a mentality of the more the merrier, you know, the support group mentality. But it's nice when you can share it with your family. As a parent of five children, I've probably repeated myself a time or two. The Bible does this too, interestingly enough. The Bible says 59 different times how we as a group should work together. And there is multiple different ways that we can do that. I have a slide that shows all of the different ways that we should look out for each other, pray for each other, and love each other. I don't know if they've got that back there or not. But my challenge to you would be to embrace each other and this group of people and talk to the people around you and know what's going on in their world. Yeah. So it's kind of small, and Jim said he'd put it up on the Facebook page, but there are the 59 different ways that the Bible calls us out to be with each other. But I would ask you, get to know the people around you. Be with the people around you. Get to know them. You know, if you're on the higher end of the age spectrum, I won't call you old. But if you're on the higher end of the age spectrum, maybe get to know the younger people. And if you're on the younger end of the age spectrum, you know, take time to get to know the other side of the age spectrum, because there is something to be garnered from that relationship. You know, there is a quote from C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis said that friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." And that is so true that, you know, we think so often that this sort of kinship can only draw us near into the type of community that Jesus wanted us to be in. For us, there has to be good times and bad. So if you're going through something, please talk to someone. As a church, we should be there for each other. Let's embrace this season of rest, but let's not forget that we should be diligent about tending to our relationships within our church community. And we should be loved, we should go deeper, and we should live it out. Let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for this opportunity, and for this church. I just ask that you help us all to develop and strengthen our sense of community within your church. And please, Lord, teach us how to love each other well. In your name, amen.